Robert Mueller didn't say the word impeachment yesterday.
But Republicans said it's what Democrats wanted.
This hearing today is their last best hope to build up some sort of groundswell across America to impeach President Trump.
I'm Noelle King here with Rachel Martin, and this is Up First from NPR News. One thing the hearings did make clear, Mueller believes election interference is still an urgent threat. What are the risks ahead of 2020?
And protesters in Puerto Rico had their demands. They wanted Governor Rosselló to step down. Last night, they got what they wanted.
Estaré renunciando al puesto del gobernador.
Rosselló says he'll be resigning effective August 2nd. Demonstrators are celebrating, but it's not clear who assumes leadership now for the island. Stay with us. We'll give you the news you need to start your day.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window, room, and door with around-the-clock professional monitoring and no long-term contracts. Get free shipping on your order at simplysafe.com/upfirst. Support also comes from Google. From Connecticut to California, from Mississippi to Minnesota, millions of businesses are using Google tools to grow online. Learn how Google is supporting businesses in your state at google.com/economic impact.
He came, he testified, so what now?
Former special counsel Robert Mueller took questions from Congress about his investigation into Russian interference during the 2016 election and about whether President Trump obstructed justice. For the most part yesterday, Mueller's answers were short and direct. Again and again, he referred lawmakers to the 448-page report that his office issued earlier this year. And still, members of Congress pushed him to say what was in that report out loud. Here's the Democratic chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler.
So the report did not conclude that he did not commit obstruction of justice. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And what about total exoneration? Did you actually totally exonerate the president?
No.
So that was the first hearing. The second was before the House Intelligence Committee and focused specifically on Russian interference. Republican Will Hurd of Texas asked Mueller this.
In your investigation, did you think that this was a single attempt by the Russians to get involved in our election, or did you find evidence to suggest they'll try to do this again?
No, it wasn't a single attempt. They're doing it as we sit here. And they expect to do it during the next campaign.
Okay, so what did we learn from all this? What does it change? We're going to ask NPR Justice reporter Ryan Lucas and NPR political reporter Tim Mak. They are both in our studios this morning. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Ryan, I want to start with you. You were paying special attention to the judiciary hearing, which focused on the issue of obstruction. We heard that clip from Chairman Nadler there. What did Democrats want from this hearing?
Well, what they wanted to do was zero in on a handful of episodes in Mueller's report of the president trying to impede the investigation. Now, those include the president directing his then White House counsel, Don McGahn, to fire Mueller, the president directing McGahn to then deny that he had been directed to fire Mueller. Democrats knew that a lot of Americans didn't read Mueller's report. So what they wanted to do with this first hearing and the question of obstruction of justice was highlight these specific episodes and bring them to life for the American public.
But Robert Mueller wasn't having it. I mean, he wouldn't even read out loud his own report. So it ended up being this kind of awkward situation where the lawmakers themselves are forced to read it and then ask, was that right?
Right. He was not a chatty witness.
No.
No one would accuse Mueller of that. He was definitely brief in his responses that forced Democrats, as you said, to read from the report themselves. Democrats did get one big point on the record from Mueller, though, in that sort of exchange that we heard with Nadler that directly contradicts the mantra that we've heard from Trump of, I was totally exonerated. Hearing Mueller right. say this was not a total exoneration was something that Democrats wanted to get. Interestingly enough, actually, one exchange that has caught the eye of a lot of people came with a Republican. That's Congressman Ken Buck of Colorado.
Could you charge the president with a crime after he left office?
Yes.
You believe that he committed, you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
Now, Mueller's report basically says as much, that if a president commits a crime, he can be charged once he has left office.
Right. And it's not specific. It's not, he wasn't saying President Trump. There is evidence enough to charge President Trump with this crime when he leaves office. He was talking generally. Yeah. All right. So what about other Republicans? I mean, we just mentioned Ken Buck, but more holistically, what was the Republican approach?
By and large, what they try to do is what they did throughout the investigation, undermine it, sow doubt about the integrity of the investigation and the investigators, raised the same sort of allegations that we've heard for months, that Mueller's team was politically biased, that it was a witch hunt out to bring down Trump. Mueller knocked both of those down. He said political affiliations played zero role in his hiring decisions. He said he wanted people who could get the job done quickly and with integrity, and he flatly denied that this was a witch hunt in any way.
All right, Tim Mack, let's turn this over to you. So the second hearing was with the House Intelligence Committee. Mueller made it really clear in his report that Russia did interfere in the 2016 election. That has been established firmly. Did we learn anything new about that yesterday?
So Mueller was clear on how pressing an issue this was for U.S. intelligence and law enforcement agencies. As we heard a little bit earlier, he said that Russians were engaged in disinformation right now as we sit here. But he also added that other foreign actors are kind of spinning up their own operations and getting involved in this space. Disinformation is a low-cost method to spread a lot of mayhem in the American democratic process, and he says he fully expects the Russian government to take part in election interference again in 2020.
In fact, he said they're doing it right now as we sit here, right? So members of Congress, what did they say about what Mueller had to say about election security?
So there's been a big push by Senate Democrats in recent days, and again after Mueller's testimony, to push Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to allow votes on bipartisan election security legislation. As we've reported a lot about here on NPR, election security is more than just ballot security, right? So lawmakers have proposed things like mandatory disclosures of foreign political ad buyers, required reporting if a foreign actor's offer political information to a campaign, and automatic sanctions against any country that's determined to interfere with a U.S. election. But so far, McConnell has said that these measures are not necessary.
Why, Tim? I mean, what's the Republican resistance to something that both parties say, yes, no, Russia absolutely should not interfere in American elections?
Well, McConnell in particular has pointed to the 2018 midterms and said, we've stepped up our game since 2016. Law enforcement agencies and the intelligence community have the tools currently that they need to secure our elections. It's not necessary to take additional legislative measures.
So what else did you hear that struck you in the testimony, especially from Republicans yesterday on this issue?
Well, Republicans reiterated that Mueller didn't find sufficient evidence to charge a conspiracy between members of the Trump campaign and Russia. Here's what House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes had to say about that.
The Democrats have argued for nearly 3 years that evidence of collusion is hidden just around the corner. Like the Loch Ness Monster, they insist it's there, even if no one can find it.
So Republicans even spent some time questioning the link between the Russian government and the Russian troll farms that spread disinformation during the 2016 campaign, even though that's been a well-established fact affirmed by the intelligence community and members of the Trump administration.
So it was notable, Robert Mueller didn't even say the word impeachment, but it was so huge, it was looming over everything yesterday. Did his testimony move that needle at all?
Well, I have to say that Democrats probably were hoping for the Mueller testimony to land with more impact than it did yesterday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi gave a press conference after Mueller's testimony and said there's still work to do before she's interested in going down the impeachment path. But the investigations on the Hill will continue. In fact, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says he's going to go to court today to enforce subpoenas to obtain McGahn's testimony and obtain the Mueller grand jury materials.
So it's over, yet it goes on.
It continues.
That's what you're telling me. NPR's Tim Mack and Ryan Lucas. Thanks, you guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we've got some breaking news from overnight. After 12 days of protests, the governor of Puerto Rico, Ricardo Rosselló, has resigned.
That's right. Those demonstrations started after some really offensive texts that the governor exchanged with members of his inner circle were made public. Earlier this week, Rosselló said he was going to stay in office, but that he wouldn't seek re-election. That was not enough. The protests kept going. And then last night, in a video statement on Facebook, the governor finally said, okay, enough.
El reclamo ha sido contundente y lo he recibido con el más alto grado de humildad.
He said, the call has been resounding, and I have received it with the highest degree of humility.
And here's David Wellna is in San Juan covering all this. So, David, what else was in that statement from Rosselló?
Well, Rachel, he said he had fully intended to serve out the 2 years that remain of his term. In fact, just a few days ago, he said he would do so, but not seek re-election. But now he saw that all he's accomplished so far, he said, could be damaged if he remained in office. He did not mention the fact that Puerto Rico's Congress was planning to begin impeachment proceedings against him this afternoon if he did not resign, or that he'd been served with a search warrant this week and that many of his cabinet members, as well as his chief of staff, had already stepped down. As for just when the governor will actually leave, he said it will be next Friday, August 2nd, and it's not clear how that delay is going to go over with all the people demanding that he leave office immediately.
It was really remarkable, these protests and demonstrations. It didn't really have a leader, right? It was a really grassroots kind of movement. What's been the reaction among demonstrators?
Well, they were victorious last night, and they rejoiced when the governor confirmed what had been rumored all day long yesterday, that he had had a change of heart and had decided to step down. There was a lot of anxiety earlier in the evening when Rosselló failed to make a promise announcement late in the afternoon, and things looked like they could get nasty when squads of police and full riot gear appeared outside the fortress, as the governor's palace is known. But when it became official he's leaving, people danced in the street and people honked car horns throughout the night. They're still honking them, celebrating what really was a grassroots-driven uprising that, as you said, had no clear leaders and no party affiliation either. This is the first time in modern Puerto Rico history that a governor has resigned, and had he stayed, it would have been the first impeachment undertaken by the island's Congress. Things have been pretty tough here, with tight austerity measures imposed to qualify for disaster assistance promised by the U.S. Congress to help rebuild from Hurricane Maria, and it just infuriated people to see their governor joking with his pals and insulting people in these online private chats that got leaked.
Okay, so speaking of no clear leader, things are up in the air in terms of who's going to replace Rosselló, right?
Yes, because Puerto Rico has no lieutenant governor, and the Secretary of the Interior is the next in line to replace Rosselló. But that secretary resigned after those chats were leaked, and he has not been replaced. So the next in line is the Secretary of Justice, Wanda Vasquez, and it would appear she'd fill this vacancy. But she's widely seen here as tainted by her association with the governor and could lack the legitimacy needed to do this job. People here are still planning to go ahead with street demonstrations this morning, with more protests planned over the next few days. They'll be celebrating Rosselló's resignation, but they're likely going to be demanding that someone else replace him.
All right, NPR's David Wellna reporting in San Juan. The governor there in Puerto Rico has announced his resignation. David, thanks. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And that's up first for this Thursday, July 25th. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Noel King. We would love it if you start your day here with us tomorrow. You can subscribe to Up First wherever you listen to podcasts, and it helps the show if you rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts.
And if you're ready for more NPR news, did you know there's a radio show for that very thing? You can find NPR's Morning Edition on your NPR station at stations.npr.org. And for podcast local news and the latest headlines, take NPR everywhere you go with the NPR One app. You can find it at your app store.
Americans kinda owe recycling to the mafia, and a huge mistake by this guy.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance. There was a cartel that controlled the flow of garbage.
Why we started recycling on NPR's Planet Money podcast.